B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 11 o'clock. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, where B's Lee Media Group Station.
97.5 The Fanatic's Trust the Contest, 5K a day, free money giveaway.
Presented by the New Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN.
This hour's keyword is grand. Enter the keyword grand on the Fanatic app, 975thefanatic.com, or by texting grand, G-R-A-N-D, to 45911 by 11:15 a.m. We'll call you if you're randomly selected and you'll win $1,000 or a grand. Everyone that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this nationwide contest available at 975thefanatic.com. Enter the keyword grand on the Fanatic app at 975thefanatic.com or by texting grand to 45911 by 11:15 a.m. Our Fanatic Trust the Contest 5K a day cash giveaway presented by the new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code GREEN. Sit here at 11 o'clock and I'm torturing, I guess, everybody today. I want to do make-believe. I want to play make-believe. I want to pretend that the Eagles are playing on Sunday in San Francisco for the NFC title game. The right to go to Miami and face Andy Reid and the Chiefs. Right now, the Niners are a 6-point favorite. And I love the Eagles plus the 6. Outright.
There's one tweet that I don't even know if I want to read. It's almost disrespectful.
Go ahead.
It's from Mo. Mo tweets in, "This pretending makes me feel like I'm talking to some rats talking about how many rings they have." And I guess he's referring to Cowboys fans.
What do you mean? That makes no sense.
I don't know. But he's basically comparing the pretending to how Cowboys fans always bring up their rings.
What does that mean? That's stupid. That there's no correlation there.
Should I ask him to expand?
No, because he's too dumb to figure it out. The idea of this is to get you over, to understand what true pain really was, to understand that this year just wasn't our year. And to make us feel, for one day, put a smile on your face. Remember, it was kind of fun. It was kind of a season long. Those plays that we play are kind of a tribute to the season. Like, I don't care if you, like, I get that it could be too painful for you, but that's just dumb. Like, I got time for, you don't want to hear it because you're upset. Like, you're upset. You don't want to do it. You don't have any fun. So I understand that. But there's, you know, the correlation with the Cowboys, that makes no sense.
Speaking of those calls, Mr. Tom Brenneman will be joining us today.
Oh, yeah?
He'll be on at 12:50.
Oh, nice. I got to laud him.
He did a great job.
He really did.
In those games.
There were two of them, right?
Well, who was Boston Scott was the...
The Redskin game?
No, that was the Giants game. That was week 17.
Right. The Redskin game was the Miles Sanders
yes,
one.
Yes, the Miles... I think he did a few games earlier in the season.
Did he do the Cowboys game? Or is that...
Weren't they both...
Buck?
I think they were both Buck and Aikman. At least the second one was. I forget about the first one when they got completely destroyed.
You're right. That was
I know we called a few games earlier in the season, but because of the stretch run those last 4 weeks, there were so many memorable moments. I'll go through the folder to see if there's any great calls from earlier in the season from Mr. Brenneman.
Well, just give me the like those were great calls. We were playing them all the time. Was there another one? Was there three? Or two? There were the two I loved, but I thought there was another call that we liked.
Well, there's one, the Josh Perkins touchdown. From one side of the field to the other.
Let me hear it. You got that one handy?
Give me one second.
All right. Let me go to Mike. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mikey.
Yo, what's going on, cuz?
What's up, brother?
Listen, brother, I love you, man. I've been listening to you for a long time. But I think the state of Philadelphia sports has finally made you crack. I think all the talk and everything's going on. Baseball's in shambles. I think there's nothing to talk about. Let's just pretend. And you know what? I can ride with you, cuz. I can pretend. But here's where you're...
You know what? You might be right. Listen, like, I might be... You know how you escape, like, via Netflix?
Yep.
Like, that's what I'm doing.
So here's the deal. I'm going to throw you a life jacket real quick here. We're going to turn around this entire next 3 hours. Ready? I pretend I hit the Powerball, right? I don't ever pretend that I hit the $20 scratch-off. And this season to me is the $20 scratch-off. You're right. It's not devastating. I'm okay with how it ended, considering all the circumstances. But it's still fresh. It's like not that far away. What you need to do is to pretend all the things you said were the painful ones. Like, let's pretend Joe Carter hit a pop-up and we caught it and the game was over instead of a 3-run home run to end the series in 93. Let's pretend that the Sixers won game 2 in 2001 and went home 2-0, and how that series may have changed. Let's pretend all those NFC championships.
Well, did Joel Embiid's stomach didn't bother him?
Let's pretend that the double, the quadruple point from Leonard didn't happen. Like, let's pretend all those painful things. Let's see what people think would have happened if the roles had reversed, how they would have ended, instead of pretending about a season with a 29 scratch off. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, go Birds!
Go Birds, Mike! I hear you. Listen, I just want to have a little fun today, which is why I came to the table. I love the championship weekend. It's like, it's a history. It means something. Over 6 of them in the last, 18 seasons. Pretty amazing, right? 6 championship games in the last 18 seasons.
It really is impressive. And Andy keeps doing it.
And he's been to, oh my goodness.
Because 5 of those 6 were Andy. And now he's what? He was there last year, right? They lost to New England.
Yep.
So that's two straight years now, AFC championship game.
Yeah. It's amazing. My man gets late. He plays late. Got to win it.
Oh, you want the Perkins touchdown?
Yeah, give it to him.
They're going to get the snap off before the 2-minute warning. Wentz looking around and throws all the way across the field, and it's a touchdown of Joshua Perkins. What a throw by Carson Wentz.
That's a good call. That's another one.
I got another good call for you.
If you're playing the bells underneath, it's even better.
You want another one?
Yeah.
This can't have the bells, though.
And now Wentz to the corner of the end zone. And Goddard dropped it. Oh, my goodness. The first time they've thrown to him today. And the normally sure-handed Goddard could not squeeze the football.
That was a good call. You're right. That was Detroit.
That was fourth quarter. He dropped it. Whiteside dropped one.
Oh, yeah.
Aguilar fumbled when nobody touched him.
Freaking Aguilar. I am so happy he's gone. I'm so happy I don't have to see him anymore. Ugh.
I saw VG tweet. VG tweeted earlier in the week that all of us were thinking the same thing. Watch, he's going to go to New England. He's going to be a Pro Bowl wide receiver.
Listen, I don't care. Like, the two guys I could care less about if they wind up being like decent players are him and Fultz. I don't care. First of all, neither of them are doing it here. Nelson Aguilar stinks, all right? Stinks. He's got I don't believe he's got a shot to do that because he still can't figure out how to track a football. And Fultz was never doing it here.
There was a rhetoric yesterday that Philly fans were so harsh on Markelle Fultz.
And what?
Yes.
What? Who started that rhetoric?
There's former players that were tweeting about it, and then I think Slam Magazine put out a tweet saying, like, make sure you don't just jump on the bandwagon if you're one of the people crushing him, especially from Philly.
What bandwagon? He had one game!
Yes. And plus, I never really got behind the kid, with all honesty. But the first game that he played and he attempted a 3-point shot and he airballed it, the crowd still stood up and applauded him.
No,
just for shooting.
First of all, all all those outlets,
yep.
Slam Magazine, whatever, whoever else put that nonsense out there, it's BS. They cheered that kid. That kid he might as well have been 13 years old.
Yeah.
He was a child. He was mentally, my Anthony, who's 8, it was actually 10 now, oh God. My Anthony, who's 10, is more mature than him. Give me a break. And his fan base bent over, but cheering him and every time they could. That's BS. BS is just a false narrative. Incorrect. They went out of their way. And all that kid did was hide under a hood. That's all he did. Hide under the hood. Psychiatrists will tell you that there's the reason. Like, he, why you wear a hood? He'd be on the bench with that hood on. Want no part of the game. Want no part of shooting the ball. Nah, come on. The whole your shoulder thing that was half bogus. Give me a break. The fans, listen, if the fans got to come, I'll say they're wrong. Not now. Not with that. They showed the patience of Job with that kid. Forget about it.
What was it called? Thoracic outlet syndrome? Yeah.
Give me a break with that nonsense. Listen, he'll never be a star in this league. I liked him. I wanted him. I loved him. I thought the idea of him, which is what we saw in 18 games in Washington, would have been good next to Ben. A secondary ball handler next to him who could shoot the ball. He was nothing. So between him and Aguilar, go ahead. They can go do whatever they want. I will not miss them. I will not rue any day that they are out of here. Got two open lines, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us. In or out? Are you on Tunis? No fun, Mr. Moat? Or are you on my side? Let's pretend the Eagles are playing on Sunday. Let's make it our own little ending. Our own little Netflix show.
Team Wet Blanket.
Somebody just said on the text board, the station start drug testing?
Let's hope not.
Conference Championship Week is here. We're talking about it. 4 teams, 2 games. So little time left of the season, you don't want to miss out. Get in on all the action with the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. There's so much going on. DraftKings, incredible promotions running every day. From odds boost to free bets, they got it all. This week only, bet on any star player to score the first touchdown of the game with 10-1 odds. Doesn't get any better than that. Plus, DraftKings Sportsbook is safe and secure betting app. You can deposit, withdraw your funds at your convenience. To top it all off, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering their best sign-up offer to date right now. You don't want to miss it. Go to DraftKings.com/Fanatic for a limited time. All new users get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's right, DraftKings Sportsbook on all out. Sign-up bonus up to $1,000. DraftKings.com/Fanatic. Get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Got to be 21 or older. PA only in partnership with Meadows Racetrack Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, 11:23, 11 o'clock hour, brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. All right, let's get ready for Sunday. Come on, Tunis. Let's get ready for Sunday, man. Let's look at the matchups. And let's go to our man on the scene. I wonder if he's already left for San Francisco. He, of course, from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com, does a great job covering the Eagles during this entire playoff run. He's Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Highlight. Jeff!
What's up, Anthony? Yeah, no, I'm not going to either of these games. I'll be staying home because I got to go to the Senior Bowl this week, next coming week, so.
Well, what's the status of Deshaun Jackson for Sunday, Jeff?
Deshaun.
See,
Am I missing a joke?
No, you know, it's funny. Today I wanted to do make believe that the Eagles were actually playing on Sunday.
They had
defeated Green Bay in a thrilling game, Wentz over Rodgers, and we were awaiting the status of Deshaun Jackson for the NFC title game against the Niners.
There you go. Hey, you know, it was possible. It was certainly possible. Deshaun might have even played in that Packers game. He would have been eligible.
Did you think he would have been? You think he would have played?
He would have been eligible. I don't know if he would have played, and I don't know how effectively he would have played, but he would have been eligible. I mean, see, you know, it seemed like all signs were pointing towards him being able to play, but, you know, you got to wonder how effective he would have been having not really played for 3 months or so and coming off a surgery like that. I don't know.
Yeah, no, but you never know. I mean, just the idea of him out there just helps helps spacing on the field.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, they certainly needed that, as we know.
So a couple things. One, from the fan base, and you know they're killing me for doing this kind of make believe thing, and I understand it. But like to me, this just wasn't their year. Like you covered. You were there. You've been there for a while, but you covered 17. And 17, like, that was their year, right? Like, you know when it's your year or not. And losing Malik Jackson, Deshaun Jackson, that early, it just wasn't their year.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. You know, just like last year wasn't really their year with all the injuries, too. I mean, I know they only came one Alshon Jeffrey drop pass from getting to the NFC Championship game. But, you know, and they had all the injuries in 17 that they overcame, but you had a feeling that once that ball got rolling and they got, you know, they avoided a couple, plays in the game against the Falcons that could have turned the tide against them, that they were just a rolling locomotive, all the way to the Super Bowl. You almost have the same feeling with a team like the Titans right now, you know,
wow.
Certainly certain different circumstances, different types of players and scenarios, but
backup quarterback. Wow. You know, it's funny. I was focused on the Niners maybe because of the NFC. Like, it felt like it's San Francisco's year, right? Like last year.
No, I agree with you there too. Yeah. I mean, their defenses, they've been building towards this. Just like I felt like the Eagles were building towards that from 2016. Maybe it happened a little earlier than I thought it
would. Right. Same thing earlier for the Niners. Like last year, you know, they didn't have a good year and we thought they'd make a big jump last year. And I thought they'd make a jump this year, but I didn't think they'd get to the Super Bowl. And I think they're going to beat Green Bay.
But that's the thing about the NFL. You can turn it around real quickly.
I mean, you
really can. If you make the right moves and you have the young guys taking that next leap up, you can win very quickly.
This, we're talking to Jeff McClain, Inquirer, Inquirer.com. This championship game, this championship weekend was always, you know, something here because they had gone in the last 18 seasons, they've been to 6 championship games. Obviously, the Lions share happened early during Andy's tenure.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that's an impressive standing. What was your first one, by the way?
The first NFC championship they went to?
Yeah, you covered.
Oh, that I covered. It would have been, no, because I
started a
year after 2008. No, I just started right when they got done, right when they lost that game, that's when I started covering the team. So I missed that one.
Yeah. That's interesting. They've had that. This weekend always kind of felt like it was the Eagles, like in it, you know, it's been an amazing ride, and really because Andy Reid, right? Everything he births, Doug Peterson,
Yeah.
And you look at his whole thing. It's pretty interesting how he's gone his path and then the Eagles piece of it.
Right. He kind of helped put the franchise back on the map in terms of being a place, a destination for players that they wanted to come and play for. I mean, certainly Jeffrey Lurie deserves a lot of the credit for that as well, and Joe Banner. But Andy, just the type of coach that he was, players wanted to play for him. And even at the, even towards the end, 2012, you know, he never lost the locker room. Guys wanted to play for him, they would have played for him, and we're seeing that certainly in Kansas City. But Andy built a culture around the Novacare complex that still sustains to this day.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So any movement on the OC job? What are we heard James Urban's name out there.
Yeah, no surprise that his name's been mentioned. I think Mike Kafka would be another guy that I'd pay attention to. Eagles could be waiting for him. He's now the quarterback's coach for the Chiefs. The question with Kafka is, you know, will Andy let him leave? And that, I mean, Kafka can go if he wants to. This would be a promotion for him. But with Eric Bieniemy likely to be up another again for a head coaching job next offseason, Andy wants to have a guy in place ready to jump into that OC job, and that would be Kafka. He wouldn't be calling plays at either job, but would he be willing to stay for another year to work with Mahomes? Does he see that as a better, you know, circumstance than playing, being here with Wentz in Philadelphia? That's the question. But this would get him a year ahead of that, you know, that timeline. And then the, you know, obviously all the other names you've kind of heard out there, Jim Caldwell, you know, you're going to go either with a younger guy, you're going to go with an older guy, or, someone who's been around for a while, or that's willing to not, to be at a place where they're not going to be able to call plays. You know, Marty Morningweg, I know a lot of people in this town probably don't want to hear that name, but again, Doug and him are really close. He knows the West Coast offense. He knows the terminology. He's taken quarterbacks and maybe gotten them over, you know, certain obstacles in their career and made them better players. I'd be maybe someone that I wouldn't be surprised that they would look at. But I really get a sense that it could be Urban, Kafka, or maybe even Press Taylor, the Eagles quarterback coach right now.
Two questions. One, Jim Caldwell, is there a health issue? Somebody had talked about a potential health issue for Jim. Because I love, he's my guy. I like to get a veteran guy in to help Doug. I think Doug needs a veteran outside voice, not another guy in-house.
Yeah, and I get that. I don't know about the physical, I mean, how he's doing. He's 64, 65, so he's up there. Been around a long time. Obviously, Penn State was the quarterback's coach there. So some people may remember that in the late 80s, early 90s, and certainly the head coach of the Colts and Lions. What I want more than anything, if I'm the Eagles, is a guy that that understands that in the NFL you have to be always ahead of defensive coordinators. You can't rest on what's worked before. You have to be a step ahead at all times, moving, changing things, changing, you know, formations, et cetera, or coming up with plays, and it doesn't matter where you get them, the high school game, the college game. So I wonder if, you know, Caldwell certainly has done that before. Can he be the guy to do it here? Or do they look at one of these younger guys and says, okay, this guy is the next, you know, who, I don't know, Joe Judge or you know, who knows, Andy Reid from many, many years ago. That's going to be the question, I think, for the Eagles.
Hey, by the way, breaking news. As of just 2 minutes ago, James Urban pulled out of any interview with the Eagles. He wants to stay with the Ravens and Bobby Engram as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Before that?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Where did that come? Where did that come via Twitter, Tunis? Let Jeff know that, because that's part of the deal.
Well, it's interesting. Go ahead, yeah.
It was from Aaron Kasenitz. He covers the Ravens.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. And you know, Urban had been here before and was the quarterback's coach under Andy and Marty. And then, you know, Doug had been the quality control coach. And they essentially moved James out of that job for Doug. And they gave him some sort of assistant offensive coordinator role, but it was a demotion. And he knew it. And he left and became the wide receivers coach for the Bengals. and then worked his way back to being the quarterback's coach with the Ravens, first under Marty, and then this past year under, all of a sudden I'm forgetting his name. Jesus, kid from Ocean City. Whatever, the offensive coordinator.
Oh, Greg Roman, you're talking about.
Yeah, Greg Roman. He's done a phenomenal job with Lamar Jackson. They've both done a great job with Lamar Jackson. So I guess maybe he sees the situation there as well. And Greg probably is going to be another.
Yeah, he'll be a hot hire, Greg, yeah.
Yeah, for next year to be head coach. And he can go in there and call plays. And call plays for one of the most electric quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense. One of the names you didn't bring up was Deuce. It's funny because I don't know anything about Deuce as it comes to what his philosophy is. And I mean, obviously, I love him and would love to see him get an opportunity. But I don't know, like, what he brings to the table.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I think that's the one knock against Deuce is that, you know, he knows running backs. He knows the running game, et cetera. But, like, really, to be an offensive coordinator, you have to spend much more time devising passing concepts, coming up with passing route concepts, you know, dealing much more with the passing game. And maybe Deuce does have that kind of ability, and maybe Doug knows that, and that would be the reason why he promotes him. But I've yet to hear anything about that. And that's why I feel like, I think Deuce would make a better head coach than probably an offensive coordinator, if that makes sense. You know, I feel like that
makes perfect sense, probably, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's more his path. I'm surprised he hasn't gotten more interviews for head coaching openings. Mm. And maybe maybe teams just view that you have to take that step.
I mean, by the way, Eric Bieniemy needs to get a job. Like, it's ridiculous that he doesn't have a job.
Yeah, I agree with you. And he's calling plays, and he's a guy who came from the same background as Deuce Daly. And that's my thing. Like, Andy took him under his wing, saw that this is a guy that could do this, and nurtured him along, and obviously he has been able to do it. I don't know if Doug has done that with Deuce. I mean, wouldn't you have, like, maybe changed Deuce's role last time as opposed to assistant head coach, which really is nothing, and said, okay, you know, you can do this, and I don't know, maybe they're doing that. My inclination is that they have not. I mean, you know, even Jeff Stoutland was named a run game coordinator, not Deuce, you know?
Yeah, he's got to get a higher. I agree with you. He does. He's got to leave, and he's got to go somewhere. And that's kind of how it works. I mean, you know it. Unless you're going to climb with, you know, if you think you're blocked at OC, which I think you're right, I think, and the fact that Doug's an offensive guy, I think he does have to leave. It's a shame because I know he's probably thinking, you know, this is my home. You know, and it's the only organization I really know.
Yeah.
You don't want to go, but I think, you know, like, it would be interesting to see if Bieniemy would have gotten the job. Does he go? Now, I know Kafka, who was here as a quarterback, as a backup kid from Northwestern, who you referenced earlier, is Andy's next in line waiting. But I wonder if you know, Andy would give him a gig. Andy would probably like to give.
If I was Deuce, I'd hop at that opportunity because you'd say, okay, he took Bieniemy and made him into this. He certainly can do
exactly.
that as well.
Exactly. Yep. It would be perfect for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know how it is. I mean, the NFL, you got to, well, honestly, in any career, it's like you stay in one place sometimes. It becomes a little stale, and people from outside view it that way as well.
Right, so they view you as, because you've been there so long, they view you in a certain way like that. It's weird.
Yep. He's a Philadelphia Eagle, and that's it, and okay, I'll take him off the board, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no, it's an interesting thing. Any rumblings right now on what you thinking off-season-wise? I know there's a lot of talk about Malcolm. But I, you know, and there's a lot of people that believe that they don't want to invest in Malcolm. I'm of the opposite. I want to bring Malcolm back.
Yeah, I think that right now, I think it's up in the air about what they're going to do with him. They, again, I don't believe an offer is even made this during the season, which I believe that they had told him would happen. They went and extended guys like Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson and made offers to Zach Ertz. Ertz hasn't met that offer yet or agreed to it yet. But Malcolm wasn't in that group. So it makes you wonder about where they stand with him. He made it very clear he's not coming back on the contract he's playing. currently under. He's got 1 year left in his deal, and he can pull that power play and force a trade, because I think at this point in his career he'd be willing to sit out, especially after he didn't do it last year. And there'll be teams that'll be interested in Malcolm. Teams that are close that just need a safety, some guy to do what he does.
Yeah, man, that's weird. Yeah,
look,
I agree with you.
He's not the athlete he once was, but a lot of what Malcolm does doesn't really show up in the stat sheet. And he just.
Yes, I agree with you.
One other guy that he's comparable to. Watch Tyrann Mathieu and how he's utilized.
Honey Badger.
Honey Badger. Malcolm and him are basically the ones that really. The only safeties that really play are that versatile.
Yep.
And then, of course, there's all that Malcolm means to the team off the field in terms of his leadership. I'd bring him back, but if he's asking for a lot, then you got to really question about bringing him back. Because again, you want to turn the page on some of these older people this offseason.
Yeah. Hey, and last thing, just curious. Schwartz is definitely back, right? I mean, that's how we're looking at it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, as far as I know, he's back. And Doug, has had some pretty adamant about that as well publicly.
Okay. All right, bro. Listen, enjoy the game on Sunday. Oh, that's right. They're not playing.
You too. Yeah, they should be good. I'm hoping for, because I got to go to the Super Bowl this year again. And best storylines, right? You always think about the best storylines.
See, you could play along with me. You have the capacity to create a narrative. Right? That's what I'm trying to get the audience to do with me here, is create a narrative. Let's create a storyline where we can actually get lost in it for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm okay with the 49ers. A lot of good local angles, stories there. Another guy the Eagles could consider is Mike LaFleur, brother of Matt LaFleur, who's the passing game coordinator of 49ers.
Oh, wow,
let's say they don't have an offensive coordinator. Mike Kafka's there. I could talk to him, find out about whatever. But in terms of the game, I mean, Mahomes versus Rodgers, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
Old versus new.
Yeah. This is Andy's year. Do you want to see, are you rooting for him? Do you want to see him win?
I mean, I don't root for anybody in this game. I root for myself, and that's in terms of.
No, I mean, but is there a part of you, like when you divorce yourself? Yeah.
That's the best story. I root for Andy getting that, winning that championship. I know the story. I'll write once he wins it. And I feel like, I got to know Andy pretty well when he was here and since he's been here. And he's a great coach. He's come close. He's a Hall of Fame coach. Usually, you've heard this before, Monday through Saturday. On Sunday, he's just a very good coach, not a Hall of Fame coach. But with Mahomes, and I feel like he can get it done. He's a good man. He deserves this opportunity. And if he doesn't even get it done, I still feel like he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, won a lot of games, man. I agree with you. Hey, great stuff, Jeff. Thanks, my brother.
Okay.
Appreciate it, buddy. Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com. All right. Like normally happens when we have guests, people drop off. So we have just Ryan, who's going to be first, coming up. Then we got open lines. And there's a number of things at play here. And I'm curious, because I'm curious on what level does this season... What kind of pain did this bring? Because I don't think it's a painful year. I think the playoff game was robbed. But other than that, to me, it wasn't in the cards. So I was joking around. I really wanted to do the play, the little act of creativity and create this make-believe like the Eagles were playing on Sunday. And I was going to do the whole show this way and actually act like it's another plane of reality. That on certain alternate universe, the Eagles are playing. And it really is their year. It's just an alternate reality. And there's, of course, infinite alternate realities. The Tunis said no, right off the bat. Did not even want to entertain it.
It was almost disrespectful, the way I responded. I almost gave you a...
It was not disrespectful. It was disrespectful...
You would have let me know.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I can't do this.
You're not, believe me, it wasn't.
Right. But when you said it, I was like.
You bust my ball. I don't care. I'm fair. It's fair game.
Right.
It's fair game. I got people on the text board ripping me, roasting me about it.
So I was kind about it.
Yeah, but it's fine. Like, you know, I don't care. It is interesting, the reaction, though. See, it's less the make-believe stuff, and then nobody wanted to go along with it, and I was on an island, and more about the reaction, like, oh, no, I don't want to do that.
Because it still hurts, at least for me. Like, I still feel pain from it.
All right, let's dive into that. And if I said to you, your most painful Eagles season or Eagles loss, like that game wouldn't even be in my top 25.
Oh, come on.
I'll find you 25 other games that hurt more than that game. Eagles Seattle.
You can't go regular season.
He's damn right I can.
Come on.
I go numerous regular season games. 610-632-0975 is how you chime in. It's Cuz Radio with the Chewness. All right. It's also DeFino law season. And every once in a while, you know, life happens and you need a lawyer. You wasn't around. I got to get a lawyer. What do I do? I got the people for you, the firm for you. Is DeFino Law. Now, when you want to work with when you need a lawyer, you want to work with a local firm, a law firm that was born and raised in Philadelphia with a team of highly experienced lawyers. They answer your call right away. They brawl for you in court. You know what I mean? That's why my guys at DeFino Law are the team for you. Vince and Mike DeFino, they're great, no-nonsense guys, fantastic lawyers. They hit hard for their clients. They're right on Broad Street with a loyal local team of heavy hitting attorneys that tackle the tough issues, get the most for their clients. You call DeFino Law, you're going to be sitting talking to a real lawyer right away, not referred to the assembly line, some strange office with a lawyer you never met. For over 60 years, they've been fighting for working people all over Philadelphia. Whether you had a personal injury at work, an auto accident, a slip and fall, have a loved one who's a victim of a wrongful death, an estate or criminal matter, get to know DeFino Law. 215-551-9099 is how you reach him. Let a real Philadelphia law firm fight for you. Go to DeFinoLawyers.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 55. I want Jim Caldwell to be the OC. I love the idea of Jim Caldwell to be the guy. Now it's interesting, James Urban and Bobby Engram, but James Urban, who was a serious candidate, withdraws as we're talking to Jeff McClain about the job. He withdraws his consideration to remain in Baltimore. Who's your choice?
Dan Orlovsky.
I like Danny too, but who's your choice?
I'm probably with you on Caldwell. I mean, you talk about the stuff he did with Peyton Manning. You know, you talked about last week the stuff he did with Matt Stafford too. And I could see Carson Wentz kind of like a Matt Stafford, but a smarter Matt Stafford. Because when we talked about it last week, Stafford is a guy that can always keep you in a game and bring you back from being down, but he just makes a lot of errors early in a game.
He can be a heartbreaker, yeah.
Whereas Carson Wentz is very good with not throwing interceptions. The thing that he needs to work on the most is holding on to the football, which he did well in the last 4 weeks of the regular season. So if Caldwell can come in here and find something with Carson, I would love that. I'm still curious about the DeFilippo thing. I don't know if there's a bad relationship between Doug and DeFilippo. I don't understand, because a lot of people immediately, when he and the Jaguars parted ways, a lot of reporters said, I don't see him coming back to Philadelphia because, I don't know, maybe there was bad blood. I don't know where the bad blood was, because you won the Super Bowl And he helped Carson Wentz have one of his best seasons, him and Frank Reich. So I'd be intrigued. I don't even think they've interviewed him or if they're going to interview him. I'd be intrigued to at least bring him back in to talk. I mean, it's 2 years, two jobs, right? He's out on the Vikings because he and what's the guy's name? Vikings head coach.
Well, it's different because
yeah, they couldn't him and see eye to eye. Yeah,
yeah, him and Mike Zimmer couldn't. No, it's interesting. I don't know. It might be. You're right. It could be that he's got an issue.
I guess two years, two jobs. Vikings, he's out. Well, and now Jaguars, yeah, usually Jaguars, parted ways.
That's different, though. I don't know.
Usually parted ways can mean a lot of things.
It can. Like, listen, I know that he's a tough dude. He's a really tough guy. So
which Carson thrived with.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about, remember the article, the Joe Santoliquido article, that Carson was a bully to Mike Groh. Remember that? I don't know.
See, and he wasn't going to push around DeFilippo. DeFilippo was a hard ass.
Remember, we had a caller, and I forget if he hung up or it was just the last time we heard from him. We had a caller after Mike Groh got fired, and remember his comment was, I think it may have been Carson Wentz who got him fired. You remember that? That call, it was the day after that news broke.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. I do remember that.
But I wonder,
I don't know, but, again, did he do anything that was any good?
No, but I just wonder if he didn't respect Mike Groh to the point where he was bullying him in the quarterback room.
Let's stop with the bullying.
I'm just saying.
It's nonsense.
There was no bullying with John DeFilippo.
You're in sports. Give me a break, bullying.
I know.
Grown adults. This isn't grade school.
But I mean,
either guy, first of all, Doug needs somebody.
Yes.
He's a great coach. But he needs help on the X and O part piece of it.
I'm just surprised there hasn't been a whisper about DeFilippo. Not one. There must be something more to it. He went for the upgrade for the OC job in Minnesota, and that didn't work out. And then he gets the OC job in Jacksonville, mutually parted ways. The Mets and Carlos Beltran apparently mutually parted ways yesterday, and then Beltran spoke out, said, "We didn't mutually part ways. They got rid of me." Mutually parted ways could mean a lot of things. I don't know. Maybe you just can't find the right fit, and maybe it's not here in Philadelphia, but it worked out with Carson. That was his best year.
I hear you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.